Luke 19 and verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the example set forth by your Son in his pursuit of souls. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we get into this text just a little bit later on, dear Lord, that you will open it up to us. May we see some things, maybe see them in a fresh way, and maybe for some even in a new way. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us prepare our hearts, dear Lord, for the days ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, thank you, church, for standing. I want to go over just with you the four Sundays of our spring program. And I went into them in great detail yesterday in our workers' meeting. But I want everyone to be aware of what we have set out to try to accomplish. The month of April is... we've used this theme for it. This month is Make a Difference Through Encouragement. I think the month of April is Make a Difference by Bringing Someone to Jesus. And of course, that's going to coincide with our spring attendance campaign. And we always ought to be inviting people. We always ought to be witnessing. We always ought to be sharing the gospel. But I think there's times when your pastor just kind of sets the bar extra high for a short amount of time and say, hey, let's double down, let's triple down, let's do more than we're used to doing. And let's work a little bit harder at it. And so, of course, April 5th is Easter Sunday. And again, I want to remind you, not only do we have the promotion card for the Friends and Family Day, along with the details of our guest speaker and our revival meeting, but on the back there are the other special Sundays, and they're all contained in one card, and you can certainly use them. Easter Sunday. Folks, I've said this, I guess, every year, but there's folks that will only go to church on Easter Sunday, but they'll go to church. So you know what? I want them to come to this church. And so let's get the word out. Let's talk about it. Of course, we have something we've done for many years here. We do a balloon launch on Easter Sunday, and there's just something about watching those balloons disappear up until you can't see them anymore. It reminds us of a resurrected Lord. And so we do that, and we have some events for the children also on that day. And so that would be April 5th, and probably we'll run it the way we usually do on Easter Sunday. The next Sunday, Friends and Family Sunday, is going to be kind of our day that we're really going to, I think, probably the program, big day, if you want to call it a big day. It's going to be April 12th, Friends and Family Sunday. He said, Preacher, what do you want me to do? I want you to try to bring some of your friends and some of your family to church on that day. But Pastor Hal Hightower, by the way, who for years served the Lord as an evangelist, he's going to be there that day. And I told him to anticipate that we would have a lot of visitors, and maybe many of them perhaps do not know Christ as their Savior. So he's going to come and preach a very straightforward gospel message. And so you bring people in, they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to have an opportunity to be saved. Afterwards, we're going to have the field set up out here, and we want all of our guests and everybody that came to go out and join us for a time of food and fun and fellowship. We'll have some things to keep the kids busy so we can chat with the parents and talk to the adults. And so it'll be a wonderful time, a good time. And I think Nichols already mentioned to you that the same way that we did kind of the social media promotion for last year's Food Truck Sunday, We're going to use that again for Friends and Family Day. And so get involved in that and spread the word on that in every way that we can. And that's what we'll do on April 12th. April 19th, Sunday school teachers, is Happy Birthday Sunday. Well, what is that about? Well, I tell the kids, it doesn't matter what day you're born, we're celebrating your birthday on April 19th this year. And so it's everybody's birthday. And so it'll be fun. It'll be fun. When you go bus calling on that Saturday, knock on every door and say to every single person, I'm so excited I hear tomorrow's your birthday. They'll be so confused. But if you tell them, there'll be cake and ice cream and presents. They will come, okay? And we're just going to have one big birthday Sunday for everybody. And the young people look forward to that. And then April 26th, Home Run Sunday, we're going to have a special bus ministry day and the bus ministry challenge, and the different young people or different bus routes have their base number, and they're having a little bit of a baseball styled contest on that day. And we're going to be giving away special gifts, have a special gift drawing. We're going to have special gifts for the bus kids that come from each route who dress up as super fans. And again, it'll be a great time for us. And so I went through that pretty much in depth yesterday. If you have any questions, you see me or Brother Nichols, and we'll be able to answer those things for you. I wanted to spend the bulk of my time tonight talking about our Each One Reach One Saturday, and that is scheduled on April 11th this year, April 11th. And of course, it's scheduled on that date very, very specifically and purposefully, because that is the day before our Friends and Family Sunday. It's the day before we'll have our guest speaker, Brother Hal Hightower, and it's the day before we kick off our revival service. And so we are going to give you several opportunities to be involved. When I say each one, reach one, every single person will have an opportunity to be involved if you wish to be involved. Now, I'm going to tell you the four different ways that you can be involved, and there are also sign-up lists on the back bulletin board so that you can choose one of these ways to be involved and put your name down, and we'll make sure then that we get you with the leader of that group and ready to go, and you'll know exactly what to do by the time we get to April 11th. But let me kind of give a overview. One of the things that many churches of like faith have been using for several years now that has been very effective, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback from, is that they are doing what they're calling community Bible giveaways. And they are setting up in different communities around them a simple tent, small tent, a couple of vehicles with some banners on the side of them, free Bibles, and some folks there that are waiting to give folks a Bible if they don't have a Bible. By the way, that's a good thing right there. If that's all we accomplished that day, that's a good thing. You say, well, everybody's got a Bible. Not anymore. Not anymore. That is not true in the United States of America anymore. So we're going to set these up on a main thoroughfare. And anybody that sees the sign and wants to pull in and ask for a Bible, we will gift them a really nice Patriot. We're having a special Bibles printed up. BPS, Bearing Precious Seed, is doing them for us. The patriotic cover on the front of them. It's a New Testament. It has our church information on the back, and they are very, very sharp. Their gift quality, as far as they won't be disappointed to get it. And so when they come to get it, of course, we want to use that opportunity to see if we can invite them to church and ask them if there's anything going on in their life that we could pray with them about. And prayer is always a good thing, folks, and most people appreciate prayer. But, you know, I told our men this. If somebody pulls in and they are wanting a Bible, usually there's something, come on, think about this, something going on in their life that says, hey, I need a Bible. And so it gives us an opportunity to talk to them at their car and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and have a chance to witness to them. And so we're going to have six different locations where we have these Bible giveaways. Jeff Scales is going to be setting up a tent in Farmersburg, along the main drag there in Farmersburg. Samuel Abel is going to have one down here, probably near Casey's or Hannah Field. Todd Eden, it will have one in Linton, and they're working on a location. Jared Wilkes is going to be over there by the lighthouse on the other side of Switch City, a main thoroughfare. David Stewart is going to have a tent set up and a Bible giveaway area there in Sullivan, and Brian Morris is going to have one in Worthington. Now, all of that's on the back. You can go and sign up for a specific one. By the way, I want to say this. All of these outreaches, okay, all four opportunities are going to happen between 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So no matter which one you sign up for, it's 10 to 2 that day, okay? And so you can choose any of these. You can be a part of the Bible giveaway location. I do want to say this, though. We have to limit the number of people that are at each Bible giveaway location because there comes a point where there's an intimidation factor, okay? If you see a Bible giveaway and you see 60 people all standing there waiting to attack your car, you might just keep moving, you know? And so there's going to be limited spaces for you to sign up for that. But let me just say this. Some of you ladies that say, "Preacher, I've got young children, and it's hard for us to go door to door, be involved in some of this." This is a great opportunity for you. And you might think about that. Before some of you that could do some of the other go rushing over to this one because it's new, I would say this to our senior saints. You know what? Bring your camp chair. You can come there. You can set up. You can pick up a Bible. You can walk over to a car and talk to somebody about the Lord and invite them to church. And it'll give you a great opportunity to do something. So I guess for the most part, and by the way, we have yard signs that say free Bibles. If you bring your kids, we'll put a couple of them out there so they can hold the signs up and people can see it and know what we're doing there. And so I don't mind if anybody, if you really want to be a part, that's fine. But I think there's some of this that those of us that are in good health and high energy and maybe aren't trying to raise little ones could plug into better, and some other situations where maybe we ought to allow those folks to have those opportunities. And so we're going to have those going on. And then you'll see something that I've called, and this sounds so liberal, I'm so sorry. I've got on my paper Soul Winning Car Blitz, but I actually changed it to Cruising for Christ. I'm telling you, brother, I'm getting more and more hip. I just, you know, the older I get, the hippier, I don't know. I was doing so well, and I think I just went right back down, okay? But, and so what are we doing here? We've got four of our men that I will tell you probably as far as personality and boldness and a willingness to just kind of be very aggressive for the Lord and yet proper for the Lord. We've got them assigned to four different vehicles, and they're just going to need three men to go with them in each car. And again, so there'll be limited opportunities there. But these men, what are they going to do? They're going to go around the communities where the Bibles are being set up, and they're going to stop anywhere they see people and tell them, "Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but down by Dollar General, there's a Bible tent. And if you don't have a Bible, they're giving them away." But that's the icebreaker, to stand there then and talk to them about the Lord and try to have soul winning opportunities. And so a handful of you can be a part of that. And then we're going to do something that I'm excited. And again, this will be something that you can do if you have children. This will be something you can do if you're a little older. And this is something you can do at a, you know, any age could do this, honestly. But we're going to also do a nursing home Bible giveaway. And so we're going to four of our nursing homes. And I have the opportunity to go more than this, but I'm going to start with four and see if we need more. But folks, listen to me. We are setting it up with the activities directors in these nursing homes to tell them we would like to come in on that Saturday between 10 and 2 and go to every room and present people Bibles. And of course, we're not just there to present them a Bible. We're there to say, again, is there anything we can pray with you about? Oh, by the way, before we pray with you, let me ask you a very important question. Because folks, I want you to understand this. The purpose of this entire Saturday, special Saturday, is to reach people with the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do some training between now and then. We're going to kind of show you how to do it. We're going to walk you through how to do it. We'll, once you get signed up, we'll meet with the different groups and say, "Let me tell you how we would like you to do this." And that way you'll feel like you know what you're doing. You'll feel like you understand what the goal is. You feel like, "Hey, I can be involved in this." And folks, you talk about being a blessing, going somewhere to be a blessing and being blessed instead. Well, you know what? That's pure religion. The Bible calls it that, is to visit, you know, the widows in their affliction. Well, folks, that's a pretty good description of a lot of folks that are in nursing homes. And so you'll have a chance to be a part of that maybe. And that would be something that husbands and wives could do together, families could do together, children could be involved in. I will tell you, nursing homes and people walking in with children, it just brightens up their entire life. And so we've got that opportunity. And then for everybody that would be left over or we maybe run out of spots on this, you can sign up for our soul winning blitz. And I'm going to be taking a busload of soul winners, people that would like to go door-to-door visiting. And Josh Davis is going to drive that for me. And we're just going to have a bus here. And if you aren't going to do the Bible giveaway and all of the car blitz is taken and nursing home opportunities, if you come, get on a bus. I want to take you a little farther out on the edge of our Jerusalem that I normally go. We're going to go to Bowling Green and we're going to go to Cory. And then we might go over to Prairie Creek depending on what time. Now, folks, one of the reasons we're going there is Brother Gordon and the teenagers, all of the other towns in this area, they hit them over and over and over again. And I'd like to go to cities that we have not hit that often. We have done every house in Bowling Green, but it's been a while. We have done every house in Cory, but it's been a while. And so what I'd like to do is kind of take you to a place where I will tell you, and he can tell you this, Brother Gordon, I could tell you this, I did it for years with the teens, but when you go to the same communities every single year, they pretty much look out the door, see you coming and say, here comes the Blessed Hope people again, and they kind of already have their patented answers. Now, we still find new people that move into the community, and somebody that maybe wasn't open to it this year, something's happened in their life, and all of a sudden they're seeking answers, you know? So we do what God's told us to do, and it's the right thing to do. But there is something about going to a community where nobody knocks on their door and maybe haven't for 5, 6, 7 years. And so I think you'll enjoy that. And so those are the four opportunities. The six Bible giveaway locations. And by the way, I want to say this. Let me list them. The six Bible giveaway locations, the soul winning car blitz, the nursing home Bible giveaway, and the soul winning blitz. Bowling Green and Cory, and maybe one other community if we have time. Now, teenagers, look, all you teenagers, look up here, okay? Don't run back there and put your name on something without talking to your mom and dad first, okay? I want you to sign up. I want you to be involved, but I don't want you to decide what you want to do. I want to make sure you talk to your parents about it so they can make the decision with you. Same thing with children, okay? I really don't want all the children's names on there. If you could just sign up as an adult and say, plus four children or something like that, then that will be good, and that won't fill up a bunch of lines with every name of every child at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so six Bible giveaway locations, soul winning cars, you know, these are special forces guys going out there and sniping people, and nursing home Bible giveaway. What a blessing, what an opportunity that is. And our soul winning blitz. And so you'll have a chance on April 11th. Now, folks, please save that date. And again, sign up, be a part of this. I'd love to have every single person involved in this, if at all possible. Now, let's look in Luke chapter number 19. What a story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree. For the Lord he wanted to see. Think about that. I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice the summarization verse number 10 after this story? Jesus said in verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then this verse, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've named the message tonight, soul searching. Soul searching. That's not what we normally think of when we think of that phrase. But I hope by the end of the night you do some soul searching so that you'll then be willing to do some soul searching. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we turn our attention to the Word of God, you'd open our understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just point out some things and learn a few handful of lessons here tonight before you send you to the house, okay? When I studied the life of the Lord Jesus, I loved to study how he reached people and brought them to himself. I believe Jesus is is the best example of everything. And so when I see him interact with somebody and I see that person respond and put their faith and trust in him, I want to learn everything I can from him. And these are the things that I wrote down. We'll talk about them one at a time, okay? But Jesus found an unlikely prospect. Jesus found him in an unlikely place. Think about that. And Jesus used an unlikely approach. So let's ponder those thoughts, okay? He's an unlikely prospect. The Bible says in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now let's say, and this didn't happen, but let's say that the day before Jesus was to come, they went to every home and they had a little form and they said, somebody in town is going to get saved tomorrow. And I want you to write down the person that you think is going to come to Christ. If you gathered all of those papers up, I'm not sure Zacchaeus' name would have been on any of those papers. Now, if they changed the survey and passed the papers out to everybody and say, if everybody but one person gets saved, who do you think the one person is that's probably not going to get saved? If everybody gets saved, you probably find Zacchaeus' name on several of those papers. You say, preacher, why was he an unlikely prospect? Okay, well, think about this. He was, first of all, a Jew who worked for the Romans. And a tax collector was not collecting taxes to be turned over to Jewish leadership. They were collecting taxes to be turned over. By the way, how many of you enjoy paying taxes? Amen. Me neither. I had my tax returns done the other day, and I'm still in a bad mood about it, all right? So I'm not going to go very deep here, okay? But, you know, the thing about it is, it's one thing to pay taxes when it's going to my country. It's another thing if we were an occupied nation and another country came in and took us over and put us under tribute, and then some Americans decided that in order to get wealthy and rich, they would work for the enemy and come to our houses to get our money to hand over to our oppressors. He was not a popular guy. And by the way, he was a tax collector. And that, again, is something that I'm sure did not make him a very popular person. The Bible says very specifically he was rich here. And you know why he was rich? He tells on himself in the story, if you weren't paying attention, okay? The reason he was rich is because he'd been ripping people off. So the Bible says he was a thief, and I know that he was a thief because he told Jesus he was a thief, that he had taken advantage of his position. So, okay, and then in verse number 7, if you'll notice, it says this, and when they saw it, that Jesus was going to Zacchaeus' house, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. Now, folks, here's a man that was a Jew that worked for the Romans, the principal tax collector. So he was the top dog in Jericho. He was rich, and he was rich because he'd taken advantage of Jewish families and ripped them off. And the Bible says he was a sinner. And what does that mean? We have no idea. But I think that they watched his life and saw that he lived in very public, unrepentant sin. Okay, I'm not sure you would have put his name down on the poll. I'm not sure I would have thought, hey, you know what? Tomorrow, Zacchaeus is going to get saved. So he found a very unlikely prospect. Think about that. If we're not careful, folks, we just kind of in our minds write people off. If we're not careful, we just say, hey, you know what? I don't know how many people's witnessed to that guy. But he's never going to get saved. We may not say it out loud, but in our minds, we can kind of give up on people. And a lot of times, the Lord gets, I think, ultimate glory and ultimate grace by saving someone like Zacchaeus. Come on, do you think Saul of Tarsus was someone that most people ever thought would receive Christ as Savior? And yet God, every once in a while, and by the way, we've seen him here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where God reaches down and just what we would call a miraculous salvation, even though all salvations are miraculous. But somebody that nobody would have thought would ever come to Christ, and God does a work of eternal grace in their life. Folks, listen to me. Don't just walk by the unlikely prospects. Don't write anybody off. Because, you know, sometimes God saves to the uttermost, and sometimes he saves to the guttermost. But I'm going to tell you, anybody that will come to Christ in true-hearted repentance and belief can be saved. So don't give up on anybody. You say, preacher, he was rich. And I can take you to the Bible and show you where Jesus said it was easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than to enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, and let's go to that story and take a look at it. And I will look at it, read it, and agree with you that it says that. But then it also does not stop there. Because the disciples looked at Jesus and said, well, then who can be saved? And he said, with men it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So even though he said, yes, it's very difficult for a rich man to be saved and improbable for a rich man to be saved, don't ever use the word impossible. So don't, folks, just write off what we might call unlikely prospects. Number two, Jesus found him in an unlikely place. Okay, where was he? All right, you know the story. I've won people to Christ in parks. I've won people to Christ at my place of employment on break time. I've won people to Christ in their front yard. I've won people to Christ in about any location you can think of, but I've never won a person that was up in a tree. I never have. He was in a sycamore tree, an unlikely place. What's the principle here, preacher? Don't walk by people that you think are an unlikely prospect. Don't turn off your radar when you're in an unlikely place. Because, you know, people can get saved anywhere. Think about that. He was up in a sycamore tree. Let's let this be a good lesson for us. He was in a place, boy, this is good. He was in a place where it would have been very easy to just walk past him. But you know what? We read in verse number 4 and 5 there, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And if there's a prayer that we need to begin to pray as we're getting closer to April is this: Jesus, let me listen with your ears. Let me see with your eyes. Let me feel with your heart. Because folks, we can just check people off as well. They'll never get saved. And we can sometimes go to places where we feel like, you know, we're not in a place where we, come on, we can't let our soul winning guard down. Sometimes in the most unlikely situations, you'll have an opportunity to share the gospel. A lot of times the problem is that we're not looking. We're not looking. I've often said, as I've read this story and I've preached on it, I've often said this: I'm fearful that if I'd have been with Jesus that day, I would have just walked underneath that sycamore tree and never even noticed Zacchaeus. But that's the difference between Jesus and Jerry Ross. And so I need to go to Jesus and say, please help me to see. Come on, we're talking about the rest of tonight, folks. We're talking about all day tomorrow. We're not talking about just a soul-winning moment, okay, or a soul-winning scheduled time. We're talking about having our radar on, watching all the time, because you just never know when it could happen. Because, folks, he may have been up in a sycamore tree, and he may have been in a place where it had been easy just to walk past him, but let me just remind you of this. He was there for a reason. And folks, yeah, we know what the Bible tells us, that he was a Jew that worked for the Romans. He was a principal tax collector. He was rich. I'm sure from the outside looking in, it looked like he had everything. But I'm going to tell you, there was something that God was doing in his heart. Because when he heard that Jesus was coming through town, he wanted to see Jesus. And you never know what God's doing in somebody's heart. I don't know what happened that gave him that level of curiosity. I don't know what happened. And by the way, behind the scenes in people's lives, behind the facade of success, God can cause different things to happen that prepares them and makes them curious and heightens conviction in their life and makes them aware of eternity. Maybe it was a close call. Maybe it was a near-death experience. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. I don't know what it was. But all I know is this: when here Jesus was coming through, he said, I want to see. And the Bible says that he ran ahead. I like verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran, can you say this little guy? He sees the crowd, he can't get to Jesus, he looks down the road, Jesus is heading this way. Hey, there's a tree. If I run and get ahead, I can get up in that tree because Jesus is going to pass by. And that's what he did. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So Jesus found an unlikely prospect, and he found him in an unlikely place. And folks, could I say this? He used an unlikely approach. But every time Jesus does something, I want to learn from it, all right? Now, this is not taught in any soul-winning manual or soul-winning course. But if you look at verse number 5, I think there's some things that we can sure learn. Hey, by the way, do you believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? I don't think any of it's then there just for filler. But so what does it say? Verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You know, folks, there's just something wonderful about a human being stopping and noticing and taking interest in somebody that everybody else is walking by. Can we learn something from our Savior tonight? And there's something very personal. There's something that speaks to the heart of someone when everybody else is ignoring them and some Christian walks over and says, hey, I want to introduce myself. By the way, what's your name? I noticed you standing over here. Could I talk to you for a minute? Okay, just the fact that he noticed him. But look at how much is in verse number five here. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, what did he say? Hey, you. Hey, shorty. He called him by his name. Aren't you glad God knows the name of all of us? Aren't you glad God can call all of us by name? I don't have that ability. I'm going to have to introduce myself and ask, what's your name? But folks, once you ask somebody what their name is, listen to their name and use it. Because I believe there's something that speaks to the heart of a person when you speak their name. And when the next time you see them, you remember their name. That's very personal here. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter that everybody else is around. Doesn't matter all the multitude. It doesn't matter what he is or isn't guilty of. He locks eyes with the perfect Son of God, whose mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. And he looks up and he calls him by name. Remember when he called Mary's name in the garden? Remember Mary Magdalene, you know, and she didn't even recognize Christ at first. And she thought he was the gardener. And she's crying and hysterical. And they've taken away his body. And I don't know where they've taken him. And all of a sudden, Jesus just speaks her name. Mary, just one name. And next thing you know, Rabboni, Master. And she falls at his feet. Folks, there's something about knowing that God cares about us personally. And folks, we got to not only mimic that and ask God for that same level of love and compassion, but mostly we need to let them know that there's somebody who personally loves them, that God loves them, that God sent his Son for them, that Jesus died for them. And I've heard preachers say it for years, and I think I agree with it. They said, you know, if there was just one person on this earth, God would have still sent his Son to die for that one person. And so you see that? He called him by names. And then he urged him to himself. Did you see what he says there? It says, make haste. Zacchaeus, next two words, make haste. And he urged him to himself. He said, hey, don't waste any time. Get down here. Make haste. And you know, folks, when we talk about eternal things, we ought to talk about them like they're important. You know, people, there's always people that never win a soul to Christ that are on the internet criticizing people that win people to Christ. And it's their own laziness that they're trying to defend. And you know, well, you know what? How many of these people really got saved? And who gets saved and who doesn't get saved? And this is one of the things they'll say. Oh, they're all so worried about picking green fruit. I mean, that's a big deal amongst these people. I can't find the green fruit reference in the Bible, but they are big on they are so scared of picking green fruit, they never pick any fruit. Okay? And the thing about it is, folks, obviously there is a bit of caution that we should learn from these things, but I hear statements like this, well, I don't think you ought to just try to talk somebody into being saved. And I think to myself, well, how is she going to do it with sign language? Yeah, but I mean, if you're like trying to talk them into it. So how do you want me to talk? Like it's no big deal? And by the way, wasn't it Come on, wasn't it King Agrippa that said to Paul, almost thou... Listen, folks, let me tell you something. When I'm given the gospel, it is the most important message that I can ever give somebody, and I ought to be as persuasive as possible. I'm not talking about Jedi mind games. I'm not talking about trick salesman tactics, but I'm talking about presenting the gospel with passion and an urgency and urging them to Christ. Because, folks, listen to me, you won't get to heaven and regret the fact that you urged people to Christ. You'll get to heaven and stand there at the white throne judgment and watch the lost all be condemned to hell and say, why didn't I talk to them more? Why wasn't I more passionate about the importance of this? So don't listen to all this backslider talk from a bunch of people that never see anybody saved. And don't you let that dissuade you when it comes to Jesus Christ. He told him, he hastened him. What I need from you is important. Get down here. And then did you see what comes next? It says, and come what? Come down. You say, preacher, that's obvious. He's in a tree. But I also think there's a biblical principle here. You know what, folks? If you're going to get saved, you're not going to get saved up on your high horse. Come on, you're not going to get saved wrapped in your self-righteousness. You're not going to get saved in your pride. If you're going to get saved, every single person has to humble themselves before the Lord. He said, come down. And then he said this is unusual, for today I must abide at thy house. Okay, I'm not sure we should use this tactic on April 11th, but it's interesting. You know, somebody pulls up, they want a Bible, and you go over to them, I'll give you a Bible, but also I'll be at your house for dinner. What time will it be ready, you know? I mean, it might work. It worked here. I'm not saying don't give it a try, but you know what? He wanted to spend time with him. He wanted to spend time with him. So many times, folks, I think our witnessing is so robotic. And it's like we just want to get everything done in 60 seconds. And if they don't show an instant interest, we're just ready to go on to the next person. And you know what Jesus said? He said, come on down, Zacchaeus. I want to go to your house. Now, I don't know how much Jesus or Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. I don't know what he believed or didn't believe. But all I know is when he looked into the eyes of the Savior, great conviction came upon his soul. Say, preacher, where do you see that at? Well, immediately after he said, listen, I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And then... verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And folks, he's not saying this if there is not Holy Spirit conviction upon his life. And you know what? You can't get saved until you realize that you're lost. And that day when he looked in the eyes of Jesus and he saw that he took the time to see him, he took the time to notice him. He called him by name. He wanted him to come down quickly. He wanted him to spend some time with him. There was something that melted the old hard heart of that sinner. And next thing you know, he's telling Jesus, whatever I got to make right to be right, I'm willing to make it right. And Jesus went and abode at his house. And Jesus said this day salvation is come to this house. And so when we talk about soul searching, let me just run through a couple of conclusions here and we're out of here, okay? I thought about this, soul searching. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Soul searching. What are you doing, preacher? What's the big emphasis for April? Soul searching. To be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. And so we have to not just save people, try to get people to Christ, but we've got to seek and to save them. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we have to do some soul searching. Let me say this. Number one, soul searching has to start with the search of our own soul. Let me just ask you, what lies have you bought into that's keeping you from being a witness for Jesus Christ? Come on, I challenge some of the nonsense tonight, but what have you believed that some backslidden preacher preached to justify the fact that he never sees anybody saved, nobody ever walks the aisle in his church? So he's got to be hypercritical of places where people are getting saved. Come on, you better listen to me. What have we bought into that's not scriptural? Okay? Because it's God's desire. God's desire, the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So first thing we got to do is, if I'm not doing it, why am I not doing it? Okay, am I too caught up in the world? Am I just too carnal? Come on, in this day and age, we're such a problem with character. Am I just so lazy, too lazy? Come on, too consumed with what I want to do? Don't have a heart for souls, don't have the heart of Christ, whatever the excuse is. And before you go out soul searching, many of us need to do some soul searching, okay? So soul searching has to start with the search of our own soul. Number two, soul searching must not be just a scheduled time, but a continual mission. Now I'm talking about searching for souls. Listen, we got some scheduled times around here where people go soul winning. We've got some scheduled times on Wednesday where people go soul winning. We've challenged people in Operation Occupation to schedule a time in your life and do it at that same time, because that's going to help you. But folks, if we just say, okay, these are the 2 hours a week that I look for souls, and when I'm done, I've got the next 166 hours off, then we're not living like Jesus Christ. That first verse said this, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He was just on his way from one place to another place. His intent was not even to stop at Jericho. He was just on his way. But as he passed along, when he saw an opportunity, he took it. And so soul searching has to start with the search of our own soul. Soul searching must not be just a scheduled time, but a continual mission. And number three, soul searching will, listen to me, soul searching for souls, will result in soul salvations if you'll just stick with it. If you'll just stick with it. And I want to remind you as we close, folks, this. Watch this. There's people like Zacchaeus still out there. They're just waiting for somebody to see them. They're just waiting for somebody to notice them. They're just waiting for somebody to care about them. They're just waiting for somebody to show them the truth. Because all over this world, I don't care what the outside facade looks like, you can make all the money you want to make, and you can chase every pleasure you want to chase, and you can buy everything you want to buy, and you can try to fill that big black hole in your soul, but there's nothing that's ever going to fill it except Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's not pass up a rich man. Let's not pass up anyone. And maybe some of you kids this week, as you're walking along, maybe you ought to look up in a tree every once in a while. You just don't know. You just don't know. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you, dear God, for all that we've been able to experience this month. And I know we still have some time in March. And Lord, the emphasis this month is encouragement. And Lord, I've still got a few things on my list that I want to check mark by the end of the month. But Lord, I want to begin to get my heart ready. Because Lord, we're going to turn the page in April, and we're going to hyper-focus on just asking God to help us, asking you to help us to bring somebody to Jesus. I wonder if you just hear that prayer, that heart cry from every soul here tonight. Lord, from April 1st to the end of the month, sometime as I journey through that month, as I pass through that month, could you help me just to find a Zacchaeus? Could you help me to see somebody that maybe other people aren't seeing? To care about somebody in a way they haven't been cared for. To be bold enough in my witness and my testimony. To be passionate in my presentation of the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Just think what would happen. Lord, just think what would happen if everybody in this room reached somebody this month. Lord, help us. Help us. Please, Lord, with your help, make it so. We pray these things in Jesus' name.